Welcome back to the Kurdistan America podcast, the official podcast of the Kurdistan Regional Government representation in the U.S. I'm your host, Dilovan Barwari. And for our second episode of Season 5, we had the pleasure of hosting a very special guest, Mr. Falah Mustafa. Mr. Mustafa serves as the Special Assistant for Foreign Affairs to the President of the Kurdistan Region, His Excellency Nechirvan Barzani. With his extensive experience, having previously led the KRG's Department of Foreign Relations, Mr. Mustafa offers invaluable insights into Kurdistan's diplomatic landscape. In this episode, we begin with a discussion about his role as the Special Assistant for Foreign Relations before delving into the recent visit of the Kurdistan Region Presidency Delegation to Washington in early February. We explored the intricacies of Erbil-Baghdad relations, including recent legal judgments against the Kurdistan Region by the Iraq Supreme Court, and discussed potential avenues for U.S. intervention to mitigate these disputes. We also discussed the ongoing threats to federalism in Iraq. Please stay tuned for this informative conversation with Mr. Falah Mustafa on the Kurdistan in America podcast. Kak Falah, welcome to the Kurdistan in America podcast.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure having you. Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure is mine.
Kak Falah, as the Special Assistant to the Kurdistan Region President, His Excellency Nechirvan Barzani for Foreign Affairs, Foreign Policy Affairs, can you tell us what you do each day? What do you do regularly in your role?
Well, as it states in the title, it's specifically related to foreign affairs and foreign policy. Therefore, following events, politics, developments in Kurdistan region, Iraq, in the Middle East region and around the world is one part of our job in order to be prepared for the latest developments. Of course, together with our colleagues at the presidency, be it the chief of staff or other assistants, advisors, and the foreign affairs team that we have, we do preparations for meetings that His Excellency will be having, to do preparations and after meetings to do follow-up. But there is a team that works together in order to make sure that His Excellency is updated, His Excellency has enough information, and also what is needed to be known before the meetings and also for updates after meetings to take place.
Very well. Thanks for sharing, Kak Falah. Now, how do you handle any challenges that come up? As the Special Assistant for Foreign Affairs, you recently visited Washington, you returned home, and then you visited Ankara. You just returned yesterday from Ankara. Please share with us.
Well, certainly, time is of importance here, but also communication and coordination is very important. Among the team that we have around His Excellency the President, we need to communicate among ourselves, and we have certain groups that we share information about upcoming visits, upcoming meetings, expected travels, so that we are all on board when events do take place. When we travel, how many people will travel, how many people will stay home, if His Excellency is going abroad, who will accompany His Excellency, who will stay at home. These are issues that need to be coordinated within the team so that we're always ready to support. So there's always a support team on the ground.
Very well. Now let's pivot to your recent visit to Washington. Last month, early on February, a Kurdistan Region Presidency delegation, which you were part of, visited Washington, D.C. Please tell our listeners, what was the purpose of the visit?
Well, needless to say, United States is an important ally and partner to Kurdistan Region and Iraq. Our relations, if we only talk about the recent history, contemporary history, back from 1991 onwards, there has been a strong partnership that has been built in the mountains of Kurdistan. Therefore, it is important from time to time, delegations from the region to go and visit Washington to sustain the friendship and relationship that have been built, also to provide information and detail to our friends and officials in Washington, but also to get updates from the U.S. officials there. What's important for us, we thought that this was a timely visit, just before people in Washington get engaged in the campaign for the presidential election that will be coming. And of course, taking the recent developments in Iraq and also in the broader region, we thought that this was a good time to go and have meetings in Washington so that we are clear about U.S. policy, where do they stand on certain issues, and for them, if they have any questions, to ask us.
So what were the key topics you discussed with U.S. officials during this visit?
Well, certainly the partnership between the U.S. and Iraq, or the strategic partnership that was discussed during the strategic dialogue between the United States and Iraq, the issue of the coalition forces in Iraq, the recent attacks on Kurdistan region, the impact of the Gaza war on Iraq and Kurdistan region, bilateral relations between the U.S. and Iraq, and also KRG or KRI relations with the United States. These were all topics, but certainly we wanted to first thank our friends and partners in the United States for their continued support and to urge them to stay engaged, because we want this partnership with Iraq, including KRI, to continue, and also to be broadened so that it is not only military and security, it covers other areas as well.
Very well. Now, how did American policymakers receive you in Washington this time? And did you find them sympathetic towards the KRG?
Well, throughout the last decades, we have seen a lot of support towards Kurdistan region. It's a strong partnership. Both sides believe in that. There has been great support for the Peshmerga forces, and it continues to be like that. Although there are many challenges around the world for the U.S. policy, there are too many issues on their plate, but still, Kurdistan region and Iraq is an important issue, and we had good discussions with our friends and officials in Washington about the way forward.
Very well. Based on your recent experience, how would you describe the U.S. foreign policy towards Iraq and Kurdistan?
Well, what we would like to see is a clear U.S. policy towards Iraq, and within that policy to have a clear section for Kurdistan region. We believe that this partnership is important. It needs to be a two-way relationship and partnership, as I mentioned earlier, on the security, military, economic, culture, agriculture, energy, universities, and you name it. There is a lot that we can benefit from the United States. Well, looking at the global picture with the war in Ukraine, with the Gaza war, with the competition with China, Russia, and other issues in the Middle East, the U.S. still is interested and is working with Iraq. But definitely what we would like to see is a more engagement and more hands-on policy so that they help Erbil and Baghdad to address the issues which are there. Although we do believe that solving our problems within Iraq is the responsibility of Erbil and Baghdad. We have a constitution. The constitution clearly states that Iraq is a federal, democratic, pluralistic, representative system of governance. Adherence to that constitution is very important. Implementing a federal system on the ground helps Erbil and Baghdad. But since it's a transitional phase, although this is the 21st year after the fall of the former regime, but 2 decades, it may be long in an individual's life, but for history and for a state, it may not be that long. We do need to engage more and more with Baghdad in order to set a stronger foundation for future, a future that would be good for everybody in Erbil, in Baghdad, in the rest of Iraqi provinces and KRI provinces.
Very well. Now, the status of the U.S. forces, the coalition forces against ISIS, has been challenged by certain groups in Baghdad now. Just recently, 77 out of the 325 MPs voted to oust the U.S. forces out of Iraq. Now, of course, the Kurds, Sunnis, and some Shias boycotted. In your view, what is the future? How do you see the future? Of course, the purpose of the coalition forces is to combat ISIS, the remnants of ISIS and other terrorist groups.
Well, first and foremost, for such important decisions, these are national decisions. These needs to be decided at the national level. Iraq is not a monolithic. In Iraq, we have Shias, we have Sunnis, we have Kurds, we have Turkmen, we have Chaldean, Assyrian, Syriac. So it's a diverse society. Therefore, this needs to be addressed at the national level. Second, the question needs to be asked to the relevant people after a real and objective assessment on the ground. What threats and challenges are there that threaten the future of Iraq or security and stability of this country? Are Iraqi forces, including Peshmerga forces, ready, capable, and able of defending the country? Do we need further assistance and support from our friends and partners? The answers to these questions should determine the future relations between Iraq and the coalition forces. We do not want such kind of decisions to be made to satisfy populist approach. These decisions are important because such a decision will have a direct impact on stability, security, and prosperity of this country. So therefore, for us, before going into that questions and before politicians deciding on that, we need to have an objective and clear assessment from the security and military commanders on the ground who know what they have, who know the challenges, and they can appraise and assess the threats. Are we in a situation that we can say, thank you very much, now is the time that we can take full responsibility, or we still need this? Having said that, a decade has passed since the time when the global coalition led by the United States came to Iraq in order to help Iraq and Kurdistan region to fight ISIS. A decade has passed. The caliphate has been destroyed. But ISIS as fighters, as insurgents, are still there, not only in Iraq, but also in Syria. And these two fields are connected. So when we talk about fighting ISIS, we always need to keep in mind that they are there in Syria as well. Anything that we decide or do here will have an impact there, or anything happens there will have a direct impact on the situation here on the ground. So therefore, it's true that 10 years have passed, a decade has passed. It's very normal and natural for the Iraqis and the U.S. to sit down together, discuss the shape, nature, form, and future relations between Iraq and the United States. So therefore, we believe that any decision, before it is made, we need to prepare the ground for that from the Iraqi side to sit in a peaceful situation, in a calm environment, not at the threat of the gun and not in a violent atmosphere. For the Iraqis and the U.S. to sit down together with the objective of sustaining peace, stability, and security in this country so that we don't risk whatever we have achieved so far.
Now, in your view, what's the perception of the current administration in Baghdad on this issue? Does it see eye to eye with the KRG, the Kurdistan region?
In fact, the leadership in Kurdistan region shared their view about the status of the forces, the situation on the ground, and how do we see it. I believe the meetings that have taken place in the higher military commission that we as Kurdistan region have also representatives on board are important, where these issues are discussed and deliberated directly.
Very well. Now I want to compare your recent visit to Washington in February to your 2019 visit when you were the head of the KRG Department of Foreign Relations, where you visited. Of course, it was a different era. How would you compare the U.S. foreign policy then to today? Has there been any changes in the way U.S. deals with the Kurds since your last visit?
Yeah, well, considering the time that has passed and also the circumstances, if we go back prior to, I handed over to my dear friend and colleague, Kaksa Finzey, on 21st of July, 2019, as head of the former head of the DFR. So prior to that, I was visiting Washington and other parts of the world in that capacity, but also considering that time, what were the issues then? Relations with the United States, the situation on the ground, threat of ISIS, economic situation, refugees and IDPs from Syria and from the rest of Iraq, getting support for the Peshmerga, getting support for the IDPs and refugees, attracting investment into Kurdistan region, building institutional ties. In whatever capacity you visit, you will have a mandate, but circumstances and also the day you live in will determine your talking points. So therefore, the talking points pre-ISIS were something, during ISIS, post-ISIS, and later on. That's why it's the circumstances, the challenges you face, and also the nature of the relationship. But as I said before, we're proud of the relationship that we have developed with the United States. It's a strong partnership, and we look forward that this will continue with Kurdistan region and all of Iraq as well.
I want to pivot to Baghdad now, Erbil-Baghdad relations in particular. Just recently, the Iraq Supreme Court, or the High Court, made a few rulings, and one of them was about the minorities, the components of Kurdistan in the Kurdistan region parliament. They ruled the components, the 11 seats, as unconstitutional. I want to get your view on this. And
well, as you may have followed, there are lots of question marks on the Federal Supreme Court. But going back to pre-27th of October 2023 or 2022, when the recent cabinet was formed, there was a political agreement among the parties that formed this cabinet. One of the agreed points of that political agreement was restructuring the Federal Supreme Court based on the requirements of the Constitution, i.e. what we have now is not the Federal Supreme Court that is required by the Constitution. Having said that, we deal with the reality on the ground that this is the Federal Supreme Court today. A lot of people have argued, a lot of people questions, and it has been unfair. Unfair to the region, unfair to the minorities, because we have always been proud of the diverse community that we have. There were 11 members in Kurdistan Parliament that belong to the Turkmen community, Chaldean, Assyrian, Syriac, and Armenian community. Now, all of a sudden, that a decision was made to remove these 11 members. Although this is temporary, I'm sure after the elections, the new parliament in Kurdistan, steps will be taken to ensure the participation of that. We would have very much liked not to see this thing, but unfortunately, it has happened. It will affect the reputation of the political system in Iraq as a whole, because the decision was made in Baghdad. Even if there were political differences, even if the complaint was made by a political party here from Kurdistan region, but the court should have stayed neutral in not depriving the communities who have deep roots and history in Kurdistan of this opportunity to be elected. I'm sure this is a temporary measure. It will be corrected, and they will be able to have representation in the parliament. But we hope that our partners in Iraq will have the political will to address the outstanding issues. Unless we believe in a federal system, we believe in power sharing and wealth sharing, we believe in the constitution, and have this as the law of the land, we will not be able to make any progress. Therefore, it is important for us to make sure that Erbil and Baghdad and all the political players throughout Iraq, they believe in the change that has taken place in Iraq. They believe in the constitution, because the majority of the peoples of Iraq have voted for this constitution, and it needs to be implemented. And not only that, the constitution needs to be implemented in its entirety. Constitution is not a restaurant menu to be selective and choose what you like. So therefore, we believe that time has come for all the political players in Iraq to sit down together and look at the issues in a way in order to reconcile with themselves and with the Iraqi constitution so that we can have peace and prosperity. People throughout Iraq, including Kurdistan region, need and deserve a better future, better services, better work opportunities. But when we have a good functioning relationship between Erbil and Baghdad, it is in the interest of everyone.
So that said, how do you see the relationship between Erbil and Baghdad moving forward?
Well, so far we have seen the new cabinet led by Prime Minister Mohammed Shia al-Sudani, who is trying his best in order to address these issues and solve them. But it seems that there are certain obstacles in the way. But we hope that the coalition that has formed this cabinet will stand behind the Prime Minister and the cabinet in order to address these issues and solve them. Solving these issues will help Iraq to address these problems and head towards peace and prosperity. I believe here in Kurdistan region, the leadership has the willingness, the desire, and the readiness to do everything it takes in order to address these issues and solve them. But you need two to tango. Alone, we cannot do it. We need Erbil and Baghdad to have the same view, the same approach, the same beliefs that we have a constitution, we are partners, we need to make this partnership work and address these issues in a satisfactory way. That would be win-win, win for Erbil, win for Baghdad, win for everybody living in Iraq.
So in your view, Kakfala, what can the Americans do to mitigate the tension between Erbil and Baghdad? Do they have any leverages that they can use to resolve the issues?
Well, when we talk about partners, let's always think about soft power as well. The power of diplomacy, the power of negotiation, the power of engagement, but also sharing experiences. For example, federal countries, the United States, they have states, issues between the federal government and the states. Canada is another country next to the United States. It has a federal system. Other federal systems around the world, they can share experiences. They can help us through workshops, through applying their own models or sharing their models with Erbil, with Baghdad, so that we understand that Erbil and Baghdad are not the only ones who have problems or misunderstandings or differences. When you have a big change like what has happened in Iraq, it's not easy. It takes time. It's a transitional phase. But you need to have the political will. I believe the US, Canada, United Kingdom, France, Germany, Italy, all our friends and partners around the world who have helped Iraq in fighting back ISIS, in liberating Iraq from the tyranny of Saddam Hussein regime back in 2003. So for us, this is an opportunity. They can use their leverage, they can use their experiences, they can use their models to encourage dialogue between Erbil, Baghdad, to encourage understanding, to share their experiences or lessons learned from others. Not only that, even the United Nations. The United Nations has worked around the world in conflict areas. Iraq has newly come out of wars. So it's normal with the diverse communities, with the different system that we have. And also federalism in Iraq is new. Because what we had in the past in Iraq was a strong centralized system of power. There is some tendency in Baghdad to go back towards that, or their thinking, their steps are going that direction. Therefore, what we need is help and support from our partners so that they can support efforts between Erbil and Baghdad to address these problems and solve them in the right manner in adherence with the Iraqi constitution.
So you mentioned that the concept of federalism is relatively new to Iraq, and the Iraqis can learn from other models, such as the federal models, such as United States, Canada, and perhaps the European model, federal systems. Now, one of the major problems in Iraq is that there is only one federal region, and the central government has centralized its powers recently. Now, is there a drive by the Sunnis or other components in Iraq, other minorities, or perhaps even Shias, to form other federal regions? It would make sense that this may be the path to resolve some of the issues.
Well, certainly when we talk about federalism, it's a system of governance. It's the way you administer the country. It's about devolution of power. It's about decentralization, about empowering regions and provinces in order to administer their own affairs, because they're closer. Not only that, we had voices, we had people in Basra asking for a region in the south. So federalism strengthens the country. Federalism does not lead to separation or division. There are some misperceptions and some people misinterpret principle of federalism. There are many federal countries around the world. They're very successful. They share the power, they share the wealth, and they have good systems of governance. Yes, it's a new concept for Iraq, but we can learn it. Yes, one of the challenges we face in Kurdistan region is that Kurdistan region is the only standing federal region within Iraq. And this region was there before Iraq was liberated, because Kurdistan region was established back in 1991 after the uprising of the Kurdish people in 1991, which coincides with tomorrow, the 5th of March, which is a holiday in Kurdistan. It's the 33rd anniversary of the uprising. So we started the journey back then. 33 years ago, the people of Kurdistan had an uprising, and the next year, 1992, we went to elections, we elected our parliament, we formed our government, and we had that system continue until 2003, when the US-led coalition came to liberate Iraq from Saddam Hussein's regime. But having other regions in Iraq, this is constitutional. The Iraqi constitutions allows for that, and this needs to be decided and to be agreed upon in Iraqi parliament. I believe this is one way to empower the Shia community, the Sunni community, the Kurdish community, and other communities living with us, because you devolve the power, you decentralize and empower the people on the ground to run their country. It strengthens the country, it creates competition, and also it creates partnerships within the region, within the regions that we have. In fact, we can have asymmetrical, so that not necessarily what we have in Kurdistan region will be exactly the same as what would be there in the future in Basra region or in the Middle Euphrates or other regions. If it were, for example, this is as an academic or as an analyst, I would say that if we can have two or more than two federal regions in the south, one in the further south, Basra and the neighboring provinces, one in the provinces that host the holy shrines or the Middle Euphrates, two or three federal regions there, one or more federal regions in the western and central part, and Iraq, Baghdad, to be the federal capital for all. We can try this, because this would be something within the boundaries of Iraq. It would be within the Iraqi boundaries, and there would be less competition on the federal government at the time, because the regions will run their own affairs, except for the exclusive powers of the federal government, which will be seated in Baghdad, representing the whole country.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree more. Perhaps a conference can be organized where experts, academics, and policymakers can exchange these ideas and come up with a workable solution for this.
Well, believe me, nothing should be taboo in the political life of a nation. Taboos are not helpful. Ideas need to be expressed. Arguments need to be made. People need to listen to each other. These shall not be one-way talks. There should be two-way discussions, deliberations, arguments, so that we can reach an agreement. And we need to be ready for compromises. Since this is our country, since we care about the future of this country and future generations, now that we have the time, let's sit down together in a very objective and realistic manner, discuss it, to have a kind of an objective assessment of the last 21 years. Did we succeed in running this country, or did we fail? Have we made progress, or have we not? Where did we make a mistake, and where did we do the right thing? Where did we do the wrong thing, and why? So if we can have self-criticism, sharing the responsibility, sharing the burden, and making decisions in the interest of all the peoples of Iraq, I believe we can reach a better understanding. As I said, people need to talk to each other. We can invite people from federal countries or even from confederations, because there have been some people talking about confederation. Let's have discussions about that. Is that applicable? Can be applied? How can it be applied? Well, what will be the result? What will we have? So therefore, there is no harm in discussing these ideas. There is no harm in trying solutions that other people have tried it and they have succeeded.
Very well said, Kakfala. Now let's pivot to you. Let's talk about you. Before we end the interview, where do you call home, and where did you grow up?
Well, I call Hawler Erbil home. I was born here and I grew up here. I did my high school here. Then I went to Mosul. I studied the University of Mosul for 4 years. Then after the uprising, I had the opportunity and I was proud and privileged to be the first Chevening scholar from the UK, from Kurdistan region in Iraq. 94-95, I studied in the UK, and in 2001, I had an opportunity to go to Kennedy School of Government in the US, and I had a diploma in Senior Managers in Government program. So for me, Erbil is home, but having traveled a lot, you can feel what does that mean more.
Thanks for sharing. Now, please share with us some of your memorable moments. Something that you want the audience, the listeners, to hear.
Well, being born in Erbil to a normal family, my dreams were very humble to be a university professor. But things have gone in a direction that I was able to be in a position to represent Kurdistan region in international conferences, accompany the president of the region, the prime minister of the region, other ministerial colleagues or minister colleagues to represent our region and our people, that has been the pride of my work and my memories. And visiting the White House in 2005 for the first time, accompanying President Masoud Barzani, that meant a lot to me.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. We still have, by the way, that photo framed on the wall at the entrance of the KRG representation.
We're proud of that moment.
Absolutely. So are we. Now, before we conclude, is there anything else you would like to mention or any final thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, thank you very much for this opportunity. I believe you and the KRG representation in the U.S., you are well stationed in order to serve your nation and your people according to the mandate and the program of the KRG cabinet and also Kurdistan Region Presidency. We want to further strengthen and deepen our partnership with the United States. We are grateful for the support we have received from the United States. We're proud to call ourselves allies and partners. We've been together in 1991, in 2003, 2014, and now we look forward to continue further this relationship. But as I said, we want this relationship to be a strong two-way relationship that would be mutually beneficial, focusing on areas of education, higher education, culture, agriculture, economy, business, investment, energy, so that we can benefit from all these areas from our partners in the United States, but also in the international community. And you are very well placed to follow up and continue on that objective.
Kaifala, thank you so much for the kind words and for the opportunity to conduct this amazing interview. Zor zor spas.
Asarca.
Once again, I'm Dilovan Barwari, and I truly thank you for listening to the Kurdistan America podcast, the official podcast of the Kurdistan Regional Government Mission in Washington, D.C. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on popular platforms like Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google. This way, you won't miss any of our episodes. Thank you again for tuning in.